Once you've read this, reread but replace the words running with drinking, run with drink, and mile with pint. And it turns into an essay that could have been written by me, slash someone who is a laugh.
As I've got older, I have become more and more interested in natural highs. Hanging out with robins causes me to occasionally worry that I don't feel enough, and so I've given spicy food, footnote, CS Spice Project, poetry and headstands a go. I enjoyed them all until John pointed out that being upside down and eating curry are not emotions. However, one natural high that is better than all of those things put together is running. I'm not particularly athletic, have no flair for sport, and have not been blessed with any genetic advantages that allow me to enjoy exercise. Footnote, Welshman's thigh, the lifelong condition I suffer from that means I have embarrassingly short, powerful legs and a disproportionately big bum, is actually a curse rather than a blessing. Inherited from my dad, other sufferers include Kelly Jones from the Stereophonics, 1970s rugby player Gareth Edwards and Rob Brydon. It makes buying trousers off the peg absolutely impossible. But all this aside, going for a run on a cold, still day must be one of life's great pleasures.
Have you never been to a pub?
If you are not a runner, like me, you probably had a bad experience with running at school. At age 11, I was introduced to cross-country doing PE lessons when we were told to run through town up to Carmarthen Reservoir. Please don't fall in and drown yourself, because I hate doing the paperwork that will entail. Through some muddy fields and back to school, a distance of about 2.5 miles. Inevitably, being West Wales, this was in the pissing rain and straight after my typical school dinner of turkey burger, beans and chips, chocolate sponge with white custard and a can of Diet Coke.
Clearly a case of false memory syndrome here. Diet Coke was not introduced to Wales until 2004 and has still yet to be rolled out in some areas of rural Powys.
Being told to get on with it meant that everyone in my class got a stitch, apart from talented runners Luke, James and Neris. And for a long time, I thought I was physically unable to run for distances longer than a short sprint, in the way that I'm unable to lift up a car or bite through concrete. I was actually fine with this, and so knuckled down to the important business of GCSEs, checking my underarms for hair and feeling sexually anonymous at parties. Having gone through university doing nothing more strenuous than walking to lectures or carrying cans back from the little shop...
Now this is a regime I could really get on board with.
I became aware that I was probably not the fittest wannabe historian in academia. Spurred into action after taking part in an impromptu kickabout and being sick on the pitch in front of a girl I liked, I decided to take advantage of being at my physical peak and do some exercise. I challenged myself to run a mile to see how that felt. It felt awful. After a positive first 50 metres or so, it soon became unpleasant and the shakes began at around the halfway stage. Showing the kind of grit Cockneys were so famous for during the Blitz, I soldiered on and was sick at the finish line. Top tip, do not hydrate with 3 pints of Ribena before going for the first run of your life. At this stage, although delirious with fatigue, I realised that I had made a rudimentary error. Instead of running for half a mile and then turning round, thus enabling me to finish at home, I'd instead run for a full mile in a straight line. I was now a mile away from my house and with sick on my hand. Like a Formula One driver who, instead of completing 52 laps of Silverstone, has just driven the 190 miles in a straight line away from the track all the way up the M1 to Darlington, the prospect of the trudge back to the podium was a lonely one. This was pre-mobile phone, so I knocked on the door of a nearby house and was surprised to discover that it belonged to our family GP. I explained my situation with quiet dignity before asking for a glass of water, a flannel to wash my face and use of his phone so I could call my mum to pick me up. Mum said, well done in the car, but I wasn't sure I deserved praise. I was 21, had run for 12 minutes, had been sick and had to use my GP's landline to call for a lift. Muhammad Ali was the boxing world champion at 22. Michael Owen had scored for England in the World Cup at 18. I had a better set of A-levels than Michael Owen, but surely 3 A-levels and running a mile without being sick weren't mutually exclusive. Unusually for me, despite finding something initially difficult, I decided to stick at it. I didn't vomit the second time, which was an improvement. After a few weeks, I was able to pace myself properly, which meant I could run a mile fairly comfortably, despite being very slow. This was hugely gratifying, as I was still amazed I could run that far without stopping. Within a few months, I could run 3 miles in about 25 minutes, was grouchy if I couldn't go, and was boring people in the pub about PBs, brackets, personal bests, and whether Saucony running shoes were worth the money.
Having just Googled them, I can assure readers that they are not, being as they are equivalent in price to a second-hand sofa or 4 months' car insurance, fully comp, 12 years no claims.
I will never run a marathon because I simply can't be bothered. It is too far and the training is too time-consuming. But the runs I go for are a massively important part of my week. Before I did any exercise, and I did absolutely nothing for 7 years, from training with Carmarthen Town under-14s to the age of 21, I didn't believe that exercise could be pleasant, in any way addictive, or that the endorphin rush people talked about could exist. I thought it was a chore that middle-aged people did because they were scared of getting heart attacks, a chore like cleaning the garage or knowing where your passport was.